strength when he made the decision and said he didn't want to subject the company or himself to more trauma. Potentially adding to Eisner's distress was the news on October 12 that Katzenberg was forming a new studio with partners David Geffen and Steven Spielberg, a bold move hailed on the front arts page of the New York Times as the biggest merger of talent since Charlie Chaplin, Mary Pickford, Douglas Fairbanks, and D.W. Griffith founded the United Artists movie empire in 1919. After the success of Lion King, Katzenberg was widely perceived as the top studio executive in Hollywood. Spielberg, the director of E.T. and Schindler's List, was the most sought-after director. And Geffen, who had parlayed the proceeds from the sale of Geffen Records into a $2 billion fortune, was the richest man in Hollywood. Eisner thought the announcement vindicated his intuition that Katzenberg would have a hard time finding another $100 million a year job, and he predicted the new studio would fail, as had United Artists eventually. Still, there was no doubt that Katzenberg had assembled a formidable trio, and prominent investors poured money into the new venture, including Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen, who invested $500 million, and Cap Cities ABC, which acquired an equity stake and made a TV production deal with the fledgling studio. There was no denying that the new studio, soon christened DreamWorks SKG, posed a competitive threat to Disney, at least in the near term. Katzenberg knew all of Disney's secrets, and Disney now faced an exodus of executives from the studio who wanted to rejoin Katzenberg. As animator Randy Cartwright put it to Ron Clements, "I think everybody's salary just went up." This might have happened even if Katzenberg had simply joined another studio in some capacity. But Katzenberg was creating a new competitor altogether. He pointedly said that DreamWorks would be creating an animation division, a direct assault on Disney's lucrative near monopoly. Eisner made no public comment on the new venture and conspicuously failed to call Katzenberg or any of the participants to congratulate them. Still, if nothing else, Katzenberg had succeeded in reigniting Eisner's fierce competitive drive, which had seemed somewhat dormant after his surgery. The stage was set for a fierce battle between Disney and DreamWorks, fueled by Eisner's barely repressed hostility toward his former protege, his desire to see him fail, and Katzenberg's fierce sense of betrayal. So when David Geffen approached Eisner at this juncture about settling the still unresolved issue of Katzenberg's bonus, Eisner was hardly in any mood to discuss it. Each of the DreamWorks partners was contributing $33.3 million to the new venture, and Katzenberg needed the money. "Jeffrey will take $60 million, Geffen offered. After tax, that would leave him with the money for the DreamWorks stake. "He's not entitled to anything," Eisner countered. "This is going to get settled," Geffen warned, "and it won't be for $60 million. Each time the price is going to go up." But Eisner wouldn't budge. By Thanksgiving, Eisner was not only feeling better, jogging in the Vermont woods during the family's annual Thanksgiving holiday, but he was reveling in Disney's record profits for 1994. With The Lion King, Pulp Fiction, and November's The Santa Claus all hits, Disney's studio became the first ever to earn over $1 billion in a single year. Pulp Fiction alone